This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're going to go to the Hall and Capitas fan hotline. Talk to our good friend Craig Meyer of the Post-Gazette. Craig, the best question, or the biggest question surrounding Pitt hoops is, are they actually ever going to play a game again?
Yeah, it's a fair question. I mean, they've played, by the time they play Syracuse Saturday, they will have only played one game in the previous 24 days. It's been sort of a surreal time. I guess that makes sense because we're sort of living through surreal times here. But I mean, they're one of these programs. I mean, there are more extreme examples out there. Like, you had DePaul, I think, when they went at least a few weeks with a no game at the very beginning of the season. And there are actually ACC teams that, you know, there are a couple of ACC teams that have played as many or fewer games than Pitt, which is certainly hard to believe. But I think with them, it's just been crazy because it's been pretty abrupt. They play their first seven games of the season with no cancellations or no postponements. And they played those seven games, I think in like 27 days, I think. So they go from playing seven games in 27 days to, assuming the Syracuse game actually happens, that'll be one game in a 24-day stretch. So, yeah, it's certainly been an odd time around that program.
Did I hear this right, that four of their last five games have been canceled and none of that has been their fault?
Yeah, so four of their past five have been postponed. And the one game that they did play actually wasn't originally scheduled. That was the Syracuse. So they played at Syracuse. They were originally set to play there February 13th. But then Syracuse was set to play Florida State on January 6th. FSU had some positive cases in their program, so Syracuse had an open date. And Pitt was the only team that was off during that week, so Pitt slid into that spot. They just moved. They basically just moved the game up 1 month. Now, of Pitt's four postponements, two of them were due to COVID cases within the Pitt program. So that was the Duke game and the Notre Dame game. So those games are on December 29th and January 2nd. Their past two games, though, with Florida State and Georgia Tech, those were due to positive cases and contact tracing and quarantining within those programs. So two are due to COVID cases tied to Pitt, and two are due to COVID cases with other programs. But it's obvious it's a tricky scenario here. I mean, it can be tough to kind of assign blame or kind of assign fault. But yeah, that's just kind of the state of things right now.
There's no chance that every team is going to get 20 games in, right, by the time the ACC tournament starts, right? There's too many cancellations to try and make up, right?
Yeah, every ACC team is scheduled to play 20 games. at this point with Pitt, so Pitt had played 5 non-conference games. I'd be stunned if they played more than 17, or if they played 17 or more ACC games. I would be stunned because they've already had 4 postponed. Only one of those has been rescheduled. And the thing with Pitt is they only have one opening now. Basically, they only have one period where they're off for more than 3 full days moving forward. So that's really the only week where you could squeeze a game in and then have, you know, and then have a the 2-game-a-week format. I mean, the thing that they could potentially do, I don't necessarily know how gung-ho the league or its programs will be about doing it. I mean, they could try to play 3 games a week to try to cram everything in. But, I think a lot of these programs, I don't think Pitt certainly will be. I mean, you have to play a minimum of 13 games to be considered for the NCAA tournament. I mean, I don't think Pitt's in any kind of danger, of missing out on that. They only need to play 5 more games. But you are at the point, though, where, yeah, I mean, you're kind of running out of time. I mean, at this point, the conference tournament, I want to say, is in 8 weeks, and I assume that it'll take place. But I also wonder if you're going to get to a point where you have 15 teams in that conference tournament, and if some of them who are, 13th, 14th, 15th place, if they're just kind of like, screw it, like the only way that, the only way we're make the NCAA tournament is if we win this thing, and the odds of doing that are nil. Like I could see it being a situation similar to what happened with bowl games in college football, where some teams for very good and understandable reasons just decided that it really wasn't worth it for them and just bailed.
Well, the thing about it is, do they have some home and homes coming up that they could maybe double up like some of these smaller conferences are doing? Like say they're supposed to play, Georgia Tech twice. Could they do just, hey, you know what, Georgia Tech, when you come, play on Monday and stay over and play again on Tuesday. Some conferences are doing that.
That would certainly be that would seem like a logical possibility. I think part of the thing with Pitt is some of the teams that they were scheduled to play twice, one of them Syracuse, so assuming that game happens on Saturday, they'll be done with that one. And then one of their other teams that they play twice is Louisville, who they've already played once now, so you would have trouble doubling that up. I mean, it could get to the case where, because I'm checking out their schedule now. I mean, I know they play Clemson twice. They play, I believe, NC State twice. And they're scheduled to play Duke twice, but the first Duke game already got postponed. So who knows if that'll end up happening. That would certainly seem to be one, though, where maybe a team kind of looks at it, and if they really want to get games in that much, and for some of the coaches in this league, like, there is a desire to get a lot of games in, or just try to get as many games in as possible, where that could become sort of a viable option for them. But who knows? So, I think that's what a lot of coaches and administrators and people that you speak with, that's just kind of what they default to. It's just, this is all just sort of a mess right now. They're trying to make the most out of it that they can, but it's just trying to get games, and really it's just to get to the finish line to have some kind, really just have some kind of NCAA tournament. Because I mean, playing that thing and getting the money that comes from actually playing it and completing it, that's the biggest reason that this season is being played at all. So whatever steps they need to take to get to that point, they're going to.
Well, it looks like outside of Justin Champagne, they're going to be at pretty much full strength, right, for Saturday?
Yeah. We talked with Jeff Capel earlier today. The three guys who didn't make the trip up to Syracuse due to COVID protocols, they all returned to practice over the weekend. They've been practicing with the team since. So barring any last-minute changes or any positive tests that come up here, which as we've learned with Pitt this season, that's always a possibility. I mean, you know, they were headed to the airport to go to Duke because the day before their game, when they found out they had a positive test, and that game got postponed. So there is always that possibility, but yeah, outside of Champagne, they should have a full team for that game.
What did you learn the first time they played Syracuse, Craig?
Man, I rewatched that game, and like, Pitt has to be given all of the credit in the world for what was a valiant comeback where you're down 11 early. I mean, within the first few minutes, you're down 16 with 11 minutes left. You're down 11 with like 5 minutes left. But rewatching that game at Syracuse, I learned that they have guys who just have a perpetual green light who I don't think have the skills to justify having that perpetual green light. Like, they took some god-awful shots. And that was one of the things that, you know, that really helped let Pitt back in that game, where you had guys taking threes from, like, 27, 30 feet out. They seemed a little, they seemed very three-point dependent. You know, in some cases, that certainly, you know, we've seen what that done, you know, what that did for the Golden State Warriors for several years. But Syracuse is not they are not the Golden State Warriors. So, yeah, they're very 3-point dependent. I will be intrigued for them if Barama Sidibe, their big man, plays. He was out in the previous matchup with knee soreness. I think that could potentially change some things for Pitt, but. Yeah, their shot selection was bad. And Pitt just out-toughed them, I think. I mean, they had an offensive rebounding advantage of 21-9, and that's without Justin Champagne, the team's best rebounder. That was a lot of work guys like Audis Toney, who's 6'6", not particularly big. You know, he's a very tenacious guy, a very aggressive rebounder, and especially for his size, very good at it too. But yeah, Pitt at a certain point, they picked up a little bit of momentum and just sort of pushed him around.
Well, I mean, that's the big thing, I think, with Jeff Capel's team, isn't it? He wants it to be the toughest, he wants toughness to be a big part of what they do.
Yeah, that seems to be a big part, because they still, like, they've got talent now. Like, they certainly have more talent though when Jeff Capel took over, but they're still kind of building up, to that point where some of their more talented players have a little bit more experience. They're still not, from a talent standpoint, an overwhelming team though. So, and offensively, I mean, this season they've made a few strides, but they're still pretty rough, when it comes to being a consistently productive offense. So defense is really, I mean, that's one thing that they really seem to kind of hang their hat on. That's something that, players talk about, how Capel preaches it a whole bunch in practices. Like, he tells them that's what we're going to build our identity around. And I think for some Pitt fans, like, he had talked about after the Syracuse win, where he's like, this was a program in its best years. That was kind of what they were known for. They were the toughest team in the toughest conference in the country. Things have obviously changed since, and I wouldn't say that the ACC is anything quite like the old Big East. And it certainly remains to be seen whether Pitt can be as tough or certainly not, or certainly as successful as those Pitt teams of the 2000s. But as far as trying to follow a blueprint, that's certainly not a bad one. Just based on its track record, what Pitt was able to do then, and I think Pitt fans will take success in a lot of different forms, especially given where that program was or has been for the past several years. But I think that would be a style and an identity that would really appeal to him.
Well, and I think that the big thing is he's recruiting that way. He's recruiting guys who are athletic, who are tough, who are, and I think that's how you build a program, one year at a time. You just keep adding good players and you keep adding guys that fit sort of what you're looking for culture-wise. And you know what? Looking around the ACC, Craig, I don't see any reason why this team couldn't finish in the top half and why it couldn't, really legitimately be an NCAA team this year.
Yeah, I think the biggest factor in that will be how quickly Justin Champagne gets back and then what he looks like when he does come back. I think that'll be the biggest factor for him, because I'm with you. Like, I don't think there's necessarily anybody overwhelming or kind of overbearing it in this conference. I mean, Clemson has looked really good. That's a phenomenal, you know, like, could we talk about Pitt being a good defensive team? Clemson's fantastic. You know, they're, you know, I assume they're number one in the country in defensive efficiency. So they're, you know, and that's a program that over the past several years, for one reason or another, has given Pitt problems. You know, it's been a surprisingly long time since Pitt's beaten Clemson. I think they've actually beaten them more recently in football than they have basketball. But they're, you know, they're certainly a team. Louisville, you know, they've crept up to number 16 in the polls. They're in first place in the conference standings. I think they're the only ACC team with an undefeated conference record. But, I mean, Pitt played them without arguably their two best players and only lost by 10. So, yeah, there isn't – I mean, I feel like this is a team in some ways that's capable of losing to a lot, maybe all teams in that conference. But I still don't think – like, I don't look up and down the conference stands the way that I used to. Like, it's not like Capel's first year – where you had three number one seeds in that conference when you had Virginia, Duke, and Carolina. Like, I don't see that same kind of dominance or that same kind of, like, unbreakable top tier. I don't think Pitt will get to that point, but I think that the absence of it is something that can give fans and that team a reasonable hope that, you know, they can break into the top ten of the conference standings, maybe get into the top half. And then once you're at that point, as you had touched on, like, you're in contention for a possible NCAA tournament berth.
Craig, great stuff as always, my man. Thank you so much for joining me, and hopefully we'll get to watch a game on Saturday.
Yeah, no, I will. I'm at the point where I'll believe it when I see it, but I'll be keeping my fingers crossed.
All right, that's Craig Meyer, the Post-Gazette. I'm Paul Zeisis, 93.7 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.